Hello and welcome to this evening's ceremony. Okay, we're gathering. Let's settle in. Okay, as we're settling in, I'd like a few people to comment on when do you start feeling the energy of the circle and the class on the day or evening of the class?
This is Rochelle. I feel it probably about 30 minutes before the class starts.
Okay, and is that when you start settling in and tuning to
Yes.
the class? So you don't feel it like during the day or when you're going about your
I
daily.
feel energy though throughout the day,
Okay.
so I don't know if it's tied to the class or not, so.
Got it. Got it. So good. But you tune into it when you start settling in. Okay, thank you. How about anyone else?
I was doing my post earlier today, so I naturally kind of tuned in and felt connected to the class and the energy of the class while I was doing my post. And I think that was, I don't know, about 1 o'clock or something, somewhere in there.
And how about this evening?
As I began to sit down and relax, although I just, unfortunately, I got a text right before the class started, so it was like that took me out of it for a second, and I had to sit back down and kind of draw back in.
Darn those texts.
Yeah.
This is Becky. I was actually on a ladder doing some things, and I felt it at 7 o'clock. And earlier in the day, I came home and I had to sleep. I don't know what it was, but it was something hit me maybe 4:30, and I probably slept for 45 minutes, and I was just gone. Like a really hard, really deep sleep. Like I just had to stop everything I was doing, sleep, and had dinner and was out fixing something, and at 7 o'clock I just felt it. Felt the
Okay.
class, definitely at 7.
I'm sure that sleep was related to. Okay, Tracy.
I'm sorry, I had to find that mute button. I noticed that tonight, I would say around 5 o'clock, because I started feeling tingling on my crown and some intense energy coming in.
Okay. Anyone else?
It's funny that you bring this up tonight because when I'm going about my day and I'll send blessings to the group, or if, like Mark said, if I sit down to do a post, but today, probably around 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, I was in the kitchen preparing dinner and the energy shifted for me. I remember exactly standing in the kitchen facing the refrigerator and it was like, whoa, oh, it's like, oh, this is the frequency of the class. That's, I don't think that's ever happened to me before quite like that.
Well, it sounded like you had quite a week, Russell,
Oh
in
my
terms,
gosh. I call
yeah.
it Holy Week. I'm calling it Holy Week to my friends.
Your comments were really, really beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Serum.
Josh, hi.
Hi. I don't know if I'm speaking for anybody else, but I mean, I'm pretty much a novice enjoying being part of this class. And so I don't know if anybody else is experiencing what I am, but it's always interesting to hear you talk about the when people are supposed to be experiencing the energy. And I am experiencing nothing of the sort. So I don't know if there's anybody else out there that has this sort of feeling. I'm very much enjoying being a part of whatever it is that's going on. But if anyone else is in my situation, I'm speaking for them too. And thank you for including me, even though I'm not getting any of that part of it, as best I can tell.
So Josh, you jumped into this class without any experience whatsoever.
Very long time ago.
Yeah, with this approach, and you have your own practices that you do. So I would not be surprised that you wouldn't be feeling energy in the way that I'm talking about it. But I am curious about how you feel when you're in the class. Like, what is going on for you? Like, is your mind settling down? Is your body relaxing? Does your mind get more active? What kind of experience are you having?
Some of all three of those. So there are times when I definitely settle into it and engage in it in a way that's similar to my own meditative practices. There are other times when I get hung up on the words that feel very unfamiliar to me and don't resonate. And then there are other times when I feel like I am engaged in whatever energetic thing is going on in a way that I don't understand.
And what... can you describe a little bit more of what it feels like to not understand, but somehow feeling engaged?
That's a good question. When we actually enter the meditative part, I can feel a connection with my feet. I can feel that something unfamiliar is going on, but I don't know what it is. And so when people are talking about where in their body the energy is flowing and those sorts of things, those are things that I can't detect.
Okay, so like right now, are your feet flat on the ground?
Yes.
Okay. And so just, can you sense your feet right now?
Yes.
Okay. What's the difference between the left one and the right one? How would you describe that?
I don't feel any difference.
Okay. Does one feel longer or shorter or more planted, less planted, darker, lighter?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So one of the major practice here is learning how to sense your physical/energy body. It's all one. Okay. So it's not just being locked into the physical, it's a sensing. So I would say, first of all, if any of this brings you into the familiar area with your practice, then I would call that a benefit, that it's just helping you be more deeply or having more minutes in your practice. And the other part of this is learning how to sense your body. I would say, you know, are you still doing your frisbee stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So when you're running to catch a frisbee, okay, is your body knowing what to do or your mind?
Mostly body.
Okay. That's what we're doing here. It's a way that the body knows to be. Okay. So, which is a little different. Your practices are more mentally oriented. And these are more allowing the coherence of the body and the mind to come together. So when you're running to catch or throw that frisbee, there's a mind part going and a body part going, and they're together. They're in coherence together. They know what each other's doing, even if one's not louder than the other, okay? And that's what we're doing here. So this would be, like, I was really impressed that you signed up, because it's like jumping into the deep end of the pool.
Well, Cindy assured me that I would be able to enjoy it, benefit from it, be part of it, even without the training. And so certainly I have enjoyed all of those things. I was just acknowledging that there were pieces of it that didn't feel natural, that I didn't understand.
Right. So if I ask you to feel your seat on the chair,
mm-hmm.
can you drop out of your head and go into the sensation of your seat touching the chair?
Yes.
Okay. Then, can you invite that whole area at the base of the torso to soften a bit?
Sort of.
Right. I would agree with you. I would totally agree. That was a perfect read of it. Okay. Then, and everyone can do this, because this is how we did this, but I want to help Josh tonight. So as you come down a little farther into your calf muscles, okay, and we're bringing sensing awareness to the calf muscles. And one might be easier to sense than the other. There you go. Can you sense how you're in there now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is where we are working from, this sensing place. Okay. Now we're going to go down to the soles of the feet in the same sensing way. You're doing great. And in the middle of the arch, like, you can sense, like, just like you know where the middle of your palm is, you know where the middle of that foot is on the bottom of the foot. And I want you to sense into that point on the right foot and the left foot. There you go. Which one can you sense more easily?
Right.
Exactly. Good read. Okay. And how do you feel overall being connected this way in your being?
It's interesting moving attention around to these parts of the body.
Okay. And what is your overall sense of comfort or cohesiveness or integration?
I would say it feels like a strain to attempt to move my focus in that way.
Uh-huh. Or I want you to sense the overall head to toe. So when you're going for that frisbee, there's a real nice feeling when you're in the flow, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm wondering if you're feeling any kind of sense of flow here.
No, not at the moment. What it feels like, to continue the analogy, is the hard work that you put in to be able to run and catch it. In other words, it feels like the exercise that you do, where it's not as much fun as playing, but it gets you to that point.
That is such a good description. You're right. It's the exercising, so that you become coherent after practicing this.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So with all that we just did, I would say that given where you're starting from and everyone else has been in the group for more time, but given your read on what's happening for you is right on, okay? So it's just about more practice, that's all.
Well, I appreciate the time and the attention.
Sure. I'm glad you spoke up. I was wondering how you were doing. Okay. How did anyone else do with those directions? Did no one do it with us?
It's Lisa. Yes, we did it. I personally can't help but do it when someone's right. being walked through. But I do have to say, Josh, I'm in awe, truly, of you and your courage to come into a group without having this basis. And I've been in this group for a very long time, and I feel very much like you sometimes right now. So I just want to really encourage you. That's all. I was very touched. Thank you.
What do people notice about their calf muscles?
I could feel the difference between the two. There was a part of it, though, that felt very cognitive to me. So it's hard to release that cognitive part of it because I was kind of like following the instructions. And as far as, you know, as opposed to like this smooth flow that I often get into when I'm just practicing it myself.
Uh-huh. What was the difference between your right and left ones, Mark?
The left, I could feel it was more prominent, and the right, those did seem a bit more solid. So there seemed to be a bit more flow in the left mm-hmm. Than in the right, from what I could tell. Either that or the right one was just grounded a lot more than the left. I wasn't totally sure of that.
Okay. Any amount of seconds and minutes we spend sensing within our body like this is valuable. You really want to work up to that being a permanent state in your body and your mind together. So the group is, let's see, I'm just going to pause here because I'm being shown the energy.
I would like to make a brief comment.
Sure, Susan, go ahead.
I touch when I'm in a meditative stance. I can lie down and touch my thumbs and the tips of my second, third, fourth, and fifth finger, and that helps the energy come up through my feet to my abdomen or my chest, wherever I put that hand position of touching my thumbs, second, third, fourth, and fifth, just the uh-huh. tips of the finger. And I'm wondering if this is a practice that's known in other religions, but I'm wondering if anyone else has done that or tried it or had any experience with it.
Mm-hmm. I'll leave it open for the group to respond.
It's powerful for me. It really helps move the energy from my feet up my legs. And I do it, as I said, lying down with my a little pillow under my neck.
Wait a minute. Your little toe under your neck? Wait a minute, that doesn't
no.
sound right.
the pillow is under my neck, but I'm lying down.
I was really impressed there for a moment, Susan.
Yeah, right. It has helped me, and I just wonder if it might help others uh-huh. get that coherence and energy moving up through from the feet to the rest of the body.
Great. So I'm just I don't know if anyone wants to respond to that. So right now, Susan, are you sitting with your feet on the ground or are you lying down?
I'm sitting right here on
okay.
the chair.
Thank you. Okay.
Just say it works when I'm lying down. That's when
okay.
I do it during the day when I want to refresh myself.
Ah, nice. Okay. Russell, were you going to comment?
Well, I was just going to, I'm not sure what Susan's saying. Like she's taking, clasping her hands with the fingertips or she have the fingertips on the body. I was confused about what she's physically doing.
Physically, I am touching the tip of my thumbs on both fingers, the tip of my first finger, the tip of my second finger, the tip of my, actually my fourth finger, I should say, and the tip of my fifth finger.
Okay.
It's just the tips. It's nothing more than just the tips of both hands, but energy exchanges between my hands, my fingertips. I can really, really feel it. It's like a closed energy circuit.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing it now as you're saying it, now that I understand it. I'm feeling quite a bit of sensation pulsing through my fingers. And then it feels like it's extending down my arms and actually throughout my body a little bit more. That's pretty interesting.
As I said, it's a practice in other religions. I won't say Buddhist, but it is a meditative gesture in other cultures.
Thanks for sharing it.
Well, when we put our hands together in prayer, you know, that connects.
It's not the same as that at all, because that you're touching all of your hand in a regular prayerful pose. This is tips
mm-hmm.
only.
Mm-hmm.
Of the thumb and the rest of the hands, of both hands joined together.
Yeah, it does create a closed circuit.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Thank you.
This is Ananda, and I would say I do not feel energy flows. If I dwell on that, I get incredibly frustrated and annoyed. And I have just had to let it go and just assume everything is fine, even if I'm not aware of it.
Well, again, let's find out what energy flowing is in your body. Because you keep going back to it should be one way, but you have an experience that's your body. And how does your body do it? So when you're settling in and coming into a more grounded space, what is your experience?
I feel generally relaxed. And I am aware now of my feet and seat. I frequently tune into that. And I just keep coming up to words like, I feel relaxed. I feel comfortable.
And so that translates to when you feel relaxed and comfortable. That means the energy has become coherent and it's flowing. And so that's the way you know energy. So if I can pull you back from thinking that you should do it a different way or it should be a different experience and encourage you to allow your experience to be fuller and fuller and fuller. That's your experience of the energy.
Okay, it's true when you use words like flow, or you know, I feel energy coming out of your palms or through your legs. I don't get any of that. I definitely do have just a general sense of when I feel calm and peaceful and comfortable.
How about when you're in the healing circle that you do with Saul? Do you have any feeling of the energy there?
I'm out of a mental state then. No, I don't feel streaming. I don't feel.
What do you feel?
I feel relaxed, peaceful, and comfortable.
So, would you consider yourself participating in the healing circle when you're in that state?
Absolutely.
Why do you consider that to be in a healing state?
I am assuming that I am.
Okay, so I'm going to encourage you to assume that when your greatest indicator of you being in a healing, coherent state is you feeling comfortable, relaxed, and at ease. That's your way of knowing.
Well, it's true where my mind gets involved as I think, gee, I'm not feeling some sort of streaming or energy flow that I frequently hear referenced, in this class. I just have a generalized overall sense of peace and relaxation. So,
Let me ask you this right now, okay? So you have right now, using my vision, a beautiful amount of energy connected to the earth and flowing through your legs and coming up through the base of the torso and then refining into a very refined frequency through the rest of your body. How are you feeling right now? If you tune into your body and your sense of self there.
See, this is where I just get frustrated and go, just forget it and ignore it and assume everything's fine because I feel generally relaxed and peaceful and comfortable.
And in that general relax and peace and comfortable, are you able to go into a beautiful prayer state, asking for prayers for people or, somehow come into your heart space? Like that naturally arises.
If I let go of the frustration and I just assume that everything's fine, that my intention is enough, and that even if I have no awareness, I'm just assuming that this is fine.
And so you do go into a deeper heart state. Like, do things spontaneously come up, like you just wish for benevolence for everyone, or wish for goodness for your friends, or those kinds of spontaneous arisings? Or you'll talk to a tree or a plant or something.
Yeah, that has not happened. What I do feel if I'm having a spontaneously arising event is I do get triggered very easily by beauty. Even if I just see somebody do something nice, or I hear somebody do something nice, or I see something that's very nice, that does trigger an upwelling sense, kind of a fountaining sense of that I share this, that I share it. I let it fountain up out of me, and I'm happy to have an outlet for, or yeah, an outlet for that joy.
Okay. So, that's your experience of the flow. Like I'm looking at your legs right now. They look like beautiful tree roots with all kinds of vibrant energy coming up through from the earth into your legs, and you're flowing. And I can see that. I have a developed visual sense. You have a developed heart sense and a sense of beauty. And that is your spiritual sixth sense. They're equivalent, even though you wish you had the visual, but we're each configured differently. And that comparing mind keeps plaguing us. I think that's a worse plague than the locusts. And if we stop the comparing, and if I can tell you how beautiful that heart sense that you have is equivalent to me being able to see energy, because I get the same feeling when I see energy too, they're equivalent. And so that comparing part needs to quiet down a bit so that you can appreciate your experience as you're having it. I'll give you a little story that I just had the other day. Let's see. I had a spontaneous vision of a friend who is a Buddhist practitioner, and who had an extreme medical procedure to save his life, and I had a spontaneous vision come into me of his cells coming into harmony so that the healing could spread through his body. And I called him up because I wanted to know what he was doing at that time. And I said, you know, what was going on at this time? Because this spontaneous vision came in, and he had been very, very sick. Came in, you know, I wasn't tracking you, I wasn't looking for anything, but it just came to me. And he said he was talking to his daughter on the phone at that time. And this is a man who feels like his purpose in life was to be a father to his children. And how much love he has for his children is cosmic. He is a deeply, deeply loving man. And so I saw that vision of his cells coming into harmony. And he was in a state of love. He didn't know his cells were coming into harmony. All he knew was the feeling of love for his daughter that he was talking to on the phone. That's how powerful love is as a healer and being in the heart.
Well, that's my fallback. I don't know. I hope someday to know, and I just assume that I'm surrendering and that whatever is happening, I mean, my prayer is always, you know, to this, to the highest good.
Mm-hmm. And that's natural to you. So if we can each allow ourselves to be present to our experience without comparing or judging, which I know is very, very challenging. I mean, we're just so conditioned to judge and compare. But the more we allow ourselves to be in the state that we're in and be present with it, it deepens and deepens and expands more and more till you have a broader and broader experience. And you can't anticipate or project what that experience is going to be. And we're each very different, you know. So when someone goes into a state of ecstasy, I'll see it as light flowing in them. You know, they might not know that there's light flowing in them, but they know that they're in ecstasy. So this is part of the new earth, the new paradigm energy is to be able to release all the conditioning we have and expectations around what spirituality is, what it should look like, what we should be able to do. I know for a long time I felt like a failure because I couldn't heal everyone instantly. That was my expectation. I really did feel like a failure. I really had to become more humble and realize that it wasn't up to me. That if I'm working with someone for healing, it has nothing to do with me. And so we're dismantling this compare, contrast, and judgment piece. It is very deep in us. We had a big clearing of that last week, that heavy karma energy that was lifted off, and there's more being lifted off tonight. We're in a big, deep cleansing period here. So I want each of you to sit back with yourself for a moment, and instead of comparing and contrasting, allow yourself to be in the experience you're in. And Ananda, I know you're trained in mantra meditation, and so if mantras come to you, then allow the mantra to bring you into deeper presence. And let's go in this direction. Maybe you can remember a moment, a time when a sense of the sacred or the spiritual woke up in you. The type of awakening that actually changes your life. Usually, people can identify a type of experience or a natural rising or a sense of awakening that actually makes them interested in the spiritual path. There we go. Would anyone like to share their moment or the time it happened for them?
One that was most recent, but then was connected to past for me, was one I expressed before when I was working at my daughter's house on her fence. And I just felt a very sense of natural flow, being totally in the present and with everything that I was doing. It helped me a lot because that word peak experiences kept on coming up, and it's like, I often would have this idea I'm supposed to have some big explosion in my heart, which I've had at times. But this one helped me realize that at several times throughout my life. I even remember early in like seven or 8 years old in particular, where there was this total sense of peace and calm and presence. So rather than comparing myself to others who've talked about these dynamic events in their lives, this was just a very complete present moment. And I realized that there were a number of times throughout my life where that came up. And that really was a spiritual experience, which is something I never really quite defined that way.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. How about someone else?
Sarah, this is Rochelle. I've had a number of experiences, but something that really, I think, began like really seeking was after my mother died. Shortly after that, I started to after she died on a Friday, and it was unexpected, and I was taken away from my home to her home. When I finally came back to mine, I laid down. I was exhausted. It was like a Wednesday. And as I laid down, I thought I saw something, like a what seemed like a staticky TV, and I thought I could see the impression of my mother, and family members that had passed with her, and I heard, "Is that you, Rochelle?" And that frightened me. So, but after that, I started to have like noticing things like flowers growing at the wrong time of year, and then things started to unfold. Like, I would call it a download now, but I didn't have language for it then, of like seeing a kaleidoscope imagery and feeling like tingling throughout the body and an incredibly blissful state that where I knew I wasn't asleep, but I was, it was in the middle of the night. And it felt like a hug from head to toe. It's kind of, but those started to cascade those experiences.
These are pivotal moments. That was beautiful, Rochelle. Thank you. How about one more person? Tracy?
Well, I shared with you one time, Sarah, more recently, an experience I had with my heart. But in the beginning of my awakening experience, I was listening to some sort of like, not, I'm trying to think of the name of the school that's like in Encino, I think, or Ensenada or California, that's more of like a ministry where they share, teachings of Sananda. And I was kind of tuned into watching one of those. And so I must have just been in like a very receptive state. And all of a sudden I had this download like in my in being that it was like, oh, you never what you never were disconnected from me. And it was like I had this understanding that all of it's sort of like my heart was connected to, like a when you think of a garden hose and the traumas and the wounds were sort of the kinks. And I had the knowing that, you were never separated from me. That was, an illusion, sort of like it was the close, like when we close off our heart to trauma. And I just heard like you were, oh, I've always been there. And I just had this deep sense and just profound, like, because I always had that feeling of being abandoned, and it was like you've never been abandoned. And it was just such a profound experience. I mean, I'm not even giving it justice. And then I had an appointment after, and I went to go out to my car. And all of a sudden, I had a surge of, like you said, this bliss wave through my entire body. Sort of like just confirmation letting me know, what was available, or that that spirit was running through my body, and it just felt like it ignited something within me. But I'll never forget. It was just like the deep, like, you were never separate from me. It was kind of like, wow, I just remember kind of going into tears.
A self-realization fellowship.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't think of the name.
So these moments, these peak experiences, they're still living within us. I mean, I'm sure everyone who spoke would agree they're indelibly in you. And they're still pulsing a frequency. That you can return to, or can be a like a through line if you allow it to become dominant in your life. If you allow it to be a living signal, frequency, channel in your being, that's where your connection is. And that's yours. So for me, it was always, I am not going to let this be covered up or recede to the background. And so, as each person here is remembering and going back to that, those moments. How can you sink into them more and more so that they come to the foreground of your life? And this is where conditioning gets in the way, and why we focus, we've been focusing so much on dissolving conditioning. It's like the conditioning puts a dark cloth over that experience. All the things that you think you should do or be and habitually default to become, from my visual sense, a dark, heavy energy that covers that up. And so, can you allow that to come back to the land of the living and let that experience be your barometer in life? So, as soon as I say that, all these conditioned habitual experiences come in. All the fears of letting something so profound interfere with being accepted in society and doing all that you're supposed to do. Can some of you sense that? Process that goes on where, okay, I had this really profound awakening experience, but I have to put it over here in the corner because I won't be able to lead a normal life. What does that feel like? What does How does that feel? What's your experience of that?
This is Laurie. Along with, putting it to the side, not being able to live a normal life with it, I've also had the feeling of having enough people in my life that I could share it with, but it didn't seem to matter. They would do their best to be excited with me, and could sense it. Some of the people who are close to me could see it, sense it. But it still felt that somehow the energy around me and in the world, the density of, I don't know, that the frequencies didn't match. And so there were times, I think, where I felt sad. But there was also, I'm not sure how to articulate it exactly, but it just didn't work. Like even if I wanted to, like it wasn't even always about, oh gosh, I won't fit in. If I mean that was there. But is that making sense? Like it just somehow the frequency didn't match what I was walking through as I went into a store or I, engaged in whatever.
Right,
Like,
but that feeling that is part of the conditioning.
and it's always been frustrating for me because it's like, how could I have these absolutely amazing experiences that just change my everything and somehow not just live from that place. So the conditioning, right?
That this is exactly why we're being guided to work with the conditioning.
Sarah?
Can you Noelle, go ahead.
Going to ask, in that case, specific to what Lori was saying, what do you mean by that's the conditioning?
When she described going into a store and it didn't match her frequency. So there's the automatic default that is the conditioning that you have to match the external conditioning rather than stay centered in your internal space, the true you. If we all sense that, I mean, that maybe we can feel that right now, how strong that conditioning is to match the frequency around us rather than stay centered in that true self space. And it is scary. It is, it's the stories of people being ostracized and left homeless and whirling dervishes being crazy and all that kind of stuff really, really has penetrated our culture to dampen the mystical spirit, burned at the stake, right? All those legends are deeply embedded in our culture.
This is Laurie again, just quickly. What also comes up for me is my quote, imaginary friends when I was little. And that sense of getting to the point where it was just exhausting to know that no one else saw that, knew. no one else could see what I saw. Mm-hmm. And even if they were kind, my family was kind, it was so different, you know? So that sense of, okay, I'm lonely, you know, or different. I don't want to be anymore. And making that decision so young,
mm-hmm.
to not have them anymore. Like, I remember saying that at some point, I don't have them anymore. That is so sad.
Mm-hmm. Right. I would say this is a very good exercise for this week, a good practice to spend time with those moments. And allowing as best as you can to let them surface and come back into the living presence of your being. And so, and even if, as I say that, you know, the issues around having a job and making money and taking care of your kids, there's all this conditioning that says you can't have this and function in the world. But that's not true. It makes your daily life more wondrous, more beautiful, more meaningful. But we're still in the process of breaking this down. So this conditioning, as they're showing it to me right now, is in the second and third chakras. That's where it sits. But we still need to sense the root chakra in order to open up the flow there. So let's do that. Let's greet Mother Earth. And when I say let's greet Mother Earth, however you love the earth is what you greet. You bring to your heart. Was there a beautiful flower that you saw? I always have flowers on my altar, by the way, for every class, because they're so important to me. And they inspire that beauty and harmony. You know, whether, you know, it's a beautiful cloud or sunshine or sunset, sunrise, it's that sense of being connected to nature, to the earth, to a sense of belonging here in your body, connected, mind, body, spirit connected. We tend to separate with the mind. And that is all conditioning as well. And so we greet Mother Earth. And so your experience comes from the experiences you've had, whether it's sitting by a sparkling stream or the glistening snow or beautiful gardens, the animals, the sense of the soil. Sense of the planet, the sense of the cells in your body. I mean, just starting with the sense of the system, the incredible system of the whole anatomy and physiology of the body. That's miraculous. And then expanding that system's sense to everything around us. And this takes practice. And if you can feel the energy on the soles of your feet, that gives you a direct connection. And brings you into your body, sensing the connection to the living energies, to the organic nature of all that is living. And when we connect in this way, coming into coherence, mind, body, spirit, heart coherence, that's when the conditioning has a chance to dissolve. And our consciousness expands to become part of something greater. That knows how to bring us into a brighter and lighter harmony that becomes less verbal, less story-based, and more experiential, or more knowing. So we are in a digestive alchemical process right now, where the heavy energies are being digested by the living energies and transmuted into lighter living energies. And that is the basis of all spiritual practices. They call it the law of reciprocity. But just as we digest things with our mind, digest things with our contemplation, digest with our body, that we do that with our consciousness and our energy too. And so anytime you can allow yourself to open up beyond some type of rigid belief or experience, inviting something fresh, new, just a slight nudge into something fresh and new. The energies are moving and digesting. And this is when we come into relationship with a higher frequency consciousness that may appear as some type of being or just pure frequency, pure sense of ecstasy, peace. Love. And that's when we come into a more coherent state. And then the consciousness expands from there. And it's a continuous unfolding, opening. And some days we're available for that, and some days we're not. An inner voice, an inner self starts to appear that feels more true, more aligned. And so take a moment to appreciate your experience. And like I said, some days it's nice and some days it just doesn't happen. And that's how life is. And that's okay. It's the practice that counts. And it's always good to ask for help. But then when you ask for help, you have to be open to how the help arrives, rather than having some kind of solid idea of how it should be. So this fluidity, resilience, and adaptability is really important. And that's enabled by the grounding, by knowing that your feet and legs are connected to something greater, a strong, vital, living stream that comes through the earth to you, from the cosmos to the earth. And that's what helps create the safety and allows the fresh new you to appear. Whatever way you know of creating safety is crucial to allowing your true voice, your true self to emerge. And in our culture, creating that safety is really challenging. It's a very unsafe culture. And so give yourself credit for your practice. And really, our bodies were meant to be a safe place for spirit to reside and integrate with. And the conditioning has created immense non-safety, anti-safety, in our relationship with our bodies. The bodies are conscious and they're meant to be coherent with our spirit. And to be a safe place to experience being human. And with the energies that are coming through now, with the shifting of the frequencies of the planet, and tomorrow there's a big solar eclipse happening that's supposed to be powerful, and the Saturn-Neptune alignment happening 3 days after that, it's supposed to be a huge energy opening. So I haven't connected directly to that, but if you remember, even last November, I was saying that our first class was timed to help us clear an enormous amount of conditioning and heavy energy so we'd be ready for the forward momentum that was going to happen at the end of February. I wasn't aware of the solar eclipse. I wasn't aware of the planetary alignments, but I was very aware of the energy cycles that were happening this year. And so that is, we've come to that point. We're coming to the last half of February where a lot is going to be shifting, changing, and opening. And so returning to your grounding, finding your safety so that you can be available to release and let go of the old and allow the new to arise within you is where we're at right now. So this week, I'd love for you to open up those experiences that were deeply and profoundly awakening for you, and let them come alive in you again, come to the surface. Notice any kind of fears that come up. Invite them to be digested and shifted in the energies, in the greater consciousness. Just be aware, present, and see what happens for you. I mean, what might happen is you see how much fear you have around it or anxiety around it, and that's good to know that. And that would be a step along this process of letting this come to the foreground and really be the through line for your life, rather than one that's conditioned and confining. Okay, so radiate blessings to everyone in the group. Know that you are a blessing to us, to everyone in the group, and that you have the capacity to bless. So thank you. Many blessings.